Hey, it's JD here, and I really hope you're enjoying the countdown so far. I want to tell you about something special we've got going on, though. Every year we do something called a pod list. It's a podcast playlist where I solicit you, the listener, to create your favorite pavement jams. That's right, if you are musically talented, or even if you are not, get your band together or pick up your fucking acoustic guitar and jam your fucking balls out. That's what I want. From there, take the WAV file, email it to me at jd@meetingmalchemist.com or send it via WeTransfer, and Bob's your uncle. That's all it takes, and you will be on the Meeting Malchemist pod list 5. And now, on with the countdown.
Previously on the Pavement Top 50.
It's Debris Slide. What are you thinking here, Pierce from Detroit?
Oh man, it's classic, right? I mean, I would say, you know, when I think about the tracks from the first few EPs, the first, you know, Perfect Sound Forever, Slate Tracks, Demolition Plot, J7, you kind of have a grab bag of like just kind of wild, noisy, experimental, quote-unquote, pop.
Hey, this is Westy from the rock and roll band Pavement, and you're listening to The Countdown.
Hey, it's JD here, back for another episode of our Top 50 Countdown for seminal indie rock band Pavement. Week over week, we're gonna count down the 50 essential Pavement tracks that you selected with your very own Top 20 ballot. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and a daisy that I pulled the petals from. How will your favorite song fare in the rankings? You'll need to tune in to find out. So there's that. This week we're joined by Pavement superfan Chad from the town of Los Angeles, City at Night, Los Angeles, California. How are you doing, Chad, you motherfucker?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm thrilled that you're here, dude. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'll point out that you are wearing the North America Pavement shirt, and that is rad. Very cool. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. This is actually the only Pavement shirt I have now. I've had several over the years, but they've, you know, gone the way of all things, like either got lost or fell apart or whatever. I had the cool one with the picture of them in front of the ice chest. I don't know if you remember that one. It's very old.
It's a real photograph, right?
Yeah.
Like there is a photograph of it?
Yeah, like and silk Gary's screened onto the shirt. Yeah, exactly. Gary's in it. Yeah. I don't know where I found it, and I don't know what happened to it, but that was like one of my prized music shirts.
Oh, man. Well, let's get right into this. Talk to me, Chad, from Los Angeles, about your Pavement origins story.
So, I mean, Pavement, first off, they're one of my favorite bands. That's probably no surprise to you. and, you know, I say I'm from Los Angeles. I lived in Los Angeles for, God, almost 30 years now. But I actually was born, raised, and grew up in Las Vegas.
Oh, like, okay.
Suburban Las Vegas. And in like suburban Las Vegas in the, you know, 80s and 90s, it wasn't really the mecca of entertainment that it is today. Like not a lot of bands came and played there that weren't like, you know, casino shows and stuff. There were some like really cool independent record stores, and there was Tower Records and stuff, and, you know, sort of more mainstream record stores. But I just, from an early age, got really into music. Like my dad was really into music, sort of classic rock. And then like, I was in high school, I graduated high school in 1994. So Pavement really kind of like spans like late high school and college for me, and then beyond.
Wow.
So my first time, it's sort of funny. I became aware of Pavement from like reading Spin magazine. I think there may have been something in Rolling Stone. And before I ever heard a note of their music, I was just aware of there's this awesome band out of, you know, Stockton, California, which is kind of like not really a mecca or a metropolis in California, called Pavement. And, you know, I read about their influences, and it was all stuff that I was into, like Velvet Underground and REM. I was like, huge REM fan. They were like my favorite band for a long time. And so I was just sort of in the ether was this unheard band called Pavement that sounded totally awesome and totally up my alley. And I was in a local record store, an independent record store in Las Vegas called Benway Bop that I don't think exists anymore. And I found a promo copy of the CD of Slanted and Enchanted. Wow. And it had like no sort of, it may have had a copy of the cover, but it didn't really have liner notes or anything or the booklet. And I think the track listing was mislabeled for a long time. I think I didn't know what certain songs were called, or I was one off of what the songs were, but I bought this promo copy. And so the first Pavement song I ever heard was Summer Bed. And
oh,
I was
wow.
just, you know, it blew me away. It was, I mean, all the things that all your guests have talked about and that you talk about, I mean, they sounded so effortless, but so melodic and so cool. And, you know, the more I read and listened to, you know, Stephen Malkmus is like the coolest person ever, right? He's like
my
sort of indie rock hero and became, and it was just, it was right up my alley. I mean, I love the music, obviously. I think he's a really underrated guitarist, both of them, both Spiral and Stephen. And his lyrics, I really loved. I was also sort of at the same time getting into Guided by Voices. I don't know if you into them. Yeah. I think lyrically they're sort of similar, or they were for me, in that the lyrics are kind of abstract and you can put whatever meaning you want onto it. And then one of the other main things, I mean, I grew up in Las Vegas, but I grew up in like suburbia, right? Suburban Las Vegas. And Pavement are also sort of from a suburban kind of mid-sized town in California. And I think Stephen Malkmus sings very evocatively in a weird, if that may be a weird word, but in a weird way, about sort of being a teenager in the suburbs.
I can see that.
In the West. I mean, certainly there's the song on Crooked Rain where he's like skateboarding through town, you know?
Yep.
And I mean, it sounds cheesy, but it felt like he was sort of speaking to me and my friends in some weird elliptical way. And just, you know, Slanted and Enchanted is still my favorite record. It's just, it was awesome. It sort of blew me away.
Jeez. That's really cool that Summer Babe was the first song you heard. I can't get over that.
Just that guitar riff. And I mean, Gary's drumming is just, when I say they sound sort of effortless, I mean, that's sort of, it sort of sounds in a way like, I mean, if you're listening to Pavement, early Pavement especially, you almost think like, oh, maybe I could do this kind of stuff, right? But of course, Steve Malkmus is an amazing guitarist and so is Spiral Stairs. But then the big difference, obviously, is Gary Young's drumming, right? I mean, he is just a one-of-one drummer, and the drums on that record especially are just crazy. But it did sound kind of achievable almost in a weird way, or very like of a sort of teenage suburban like background, if that makes sense.
Totally. It sounded DIY to, you know, before Absolutely. We really thought of that as a term. That's sort of what it sounded like, right? And if you dug a little deeper, you found out that, you know, Gary, the drummer, was also the engineer and producer of the record. So you're like, what the hell? Like, I don't even understand this band. Like, this is so strange.
These two kind of like high school buddies just found this crazy wizard producer drummer and just like rented some studio time and created this amazing sort of sui generis album, you know, that didn't sound like anything else, but also was very kind of overt in its influences at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get that. So talk to me a little bit about any notable shows you've been to, or like, what was that like? Were you, you know, when you heard Slanted, You mentioned that not a lot of bands came to town. Was that a band that you looked out for? Did they come to town, or did you have to wait until you left Vegas?
it was funny. I had to wait till I left Vegas. Slanted came out. I was sort of in the middle of high school, and then Crooked Rain came out at the end, like right before I graduated from high school. Okay. So the first show I saw, the Crooked Rain tour actually came through Las Vegas and played this awesome venue called the Huntridge Theater, which is this old Art Deco movie theater that they turned into a concert venue. I saw a ton of great shows at the Huntridge, but I missed the Pavement show because I was already away at college. But I
Shit.
I know, it was a bummer. But the good news is that the first Pavement show I ever saw was the last show of the Crooked Rain tour. I found that out on Setlist FM in Providence, Rhode Island, at this little venue called Lupo's Heartbreak Hotel. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
No, I've never heard of it.
It was crazy. It was tiny, and there was a weird pillar in the middle of the room. I remember trying to move so I could see them around the pillar. And it was very small. I remember, I don't know if this is even real or not, but I remember sort of walking like downstairs, it was almost below ground, this like sort of dank, dark club. And we were all, I was visiting, I didn't go to school in Providence, but I had a friend from high school who did. And so I took the train up and visited her, and we went to the show, and we're just standing around waiting. I don't remember if there was an opening act or not. But all of a sudden, these dudes in like jeans and t-shirts, I think, actually, I remember this distinctly, a polo shirt over a long sleeve t-shirt, one of them had, come out drinking beer and just start like fiddling with guitars and tuning up. And all of a sudden, I was like, holy shit, can I swear on this podcast? I'm sorry.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah. Fuck
like, holy shit, that's Stephen Malkmus, like just out there with, you know, a beer in one hand, bends down, plugs in his guitar, starts like fiddling around, tuning up. And it was just like, it was crazy. And then they played what is in my mind one of the all-time shows I've ever seen. I mean, I remember distinct songs they played. They played probably my favorite Pavement song, Shoot the Singer, in the middle of the set. And it was just fantastic. It was a really, and I've seen them probably five times, but the first time I ever saw them was the very last night of the Crooked Rain tour.
Oh man. So Gary was still drumming with them then. Yes.
No. I think
Westy was so. With them.
I think that was the full
band. Oh, of course.
We know it.
Yes.
Now.
Of course. Yeah.
I don't think he drummed on Crooked Rain. Did he? Yeah. I think Westy was already there at that point.
Westy was there, but they started with him, and then they moved away from it because Steve was not vibing it. So
yeah, I don't think he was in a state to go on a international tour. But yeah, so it was Westy, it was, you know, Mark Eibold, Bob, the whole band as we know it now was definitely there. But they were, and you know, they didn't even have techs at that time. Like they were tuning their own guitars and like setting up their own drum kit and stuff. It was very, as you said, DIY.
That's so cool. That is so cool. So what other shows did you see? Did you go to any on the reunion tour in 2010?
Yeah, so I saw them twice before they like broke up, right? And the other show I saw was actually in London, of all places. I was backpacking around England with a friend of mine one summer in college, and this is back in the days when you could do this. When we were in London, we picked up a local paper and we're like, holy shit, Pavement's playing at the Forum in London. And so we went, this was probably the, I was in college. So it was, the Bright in the Corners tour.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so I saw them there. That was awesome. And then I've seen them probably three times in the sort of reunion shows.
The reunion era.
Yeah.
So talk to me about the song that you mentioned, Shoot the Singer. Is that still your favorite? Is that what you go to when you need a little Pavement fix, or where do you go?
It's one of them, definitely. I mean, it's probably no surprise that the like slanted, watery domestic era is probably my favorite Pavement era. I think all their albums are like stone classics. Maybe with the exception of Terror Twilight, which is only very good, you know, or
right,
very
yeah.
good. But that's just my personal preference. But yeah, I mean, I love, and we'll get into it when we talk about the song, but like I feel like there are sort of different genres almost of Pavement songs. And sure. There's the rockers, there's the kind of jokier, not jokey, but the sort of like more fun, like loose songs. And there's kind of like the mid-tempo ones, which are a little more introspective, like Shoot the Singer. And I'm mm-hmm. definitely drawn to those. And like the stuff on Slanted, like, you know, Perfume V, which is sort of still pretty rocking, but like, you know, Here, obviously, and like In the Mouth of Desert and stuff. I'm really drawn to those kind of like more mellows, not a good word, but the little sort of more mid-tempo, more introspective lyrics, still with awesome guitar sounds. But yeah, Shoot the Singer is definitely a highlight for me.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Watery. Like, I think it's perfect. I think it's perfect.
It's a perfect four-song EP.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing about Pavement, too, is, I mean, they, you know, of course I am sad or was sad when they broke up, but I love when they got back together. This sounds weird to say. I love that they didn't, like, put out new music, you know? I love that there is this time capsule of, like, 4.5 perfect albums and some perfect EPs. And it's almost like the Beatles or the Smiths, not to be too hyperbolic, but it's like, you know, these few years they were together, they released just nothing but like bangers, right? And it's just like this perfect sort of discography. And then they were done. And they didn't do, I mean, another band that I love, but the Pixies, you know, I mean, I don't have time for any of the Pixies' new music, you know? It's like, I get the creative urge to still be making music, but you know, it's like when you have this catalog to work with, they sort of, you know, and they all went on to do different things. And like, I love, you know, Malcolm's solo stuff. I like Spiral solo stuff. And I mean, I would much rather have that than sort of have this weird, you know, like, well, oh, the Pixies have a new album out, but it's really not any good. And it's only Frank Black. And it's, you know, it's sort of, it's nice that there's this almost like, preserved in amber, like perfect records and releases, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more. Well, do you think we should flip the record and get into the song of the week, song number 36?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, let's do it. We'll be right back after this with song 36.
Hey, this is Bob Nastanovich from Pavement. Thanks for listening. And now on with a countdown.
36.
Don't telegraph your passes, you'll end up with molasses. Cauterize in syrup, and syrup and molasses. And I'm checking out the asses, the assets that attract us to anything that moves. We're deep inside the grooves, and it's time to shake the rations, cause someone's gonna cash in. The plot, it turns again, the reference starts at 10. Well, show me a word that rhymes with pavement, and I will kill your parents and roast them on a spit. And don't you try to etch it or permanently sketch it, or you're gonna catch a bad, bad cold. And the freaks have stormed the White House. I moved into a lighthouse. It's on a scenic way. It's so, so far. Kiwis, they are home baking, minds wide open, truly. Leisure, a leisure suit is nothing. It's nothing to be proud of in this late century. and I'm asking you to hold me just like the morning paper. Pinch between your pointer, your index, and your thumb. It's a semi-automatic. Believers are ecstatic. You see the way they cling, the cold metallic sting. And I'm living in a coma, Madonna de Verona. The harness made of hopes, the lovers on the ropes. None is to church as the parrot is to perch, and my heart's wide open, truly.
So there it is, track 36 on the countdown is Harness Your Hopes from the June 22nd release of the Spit on a Stranger EP, and then later on the Brighten the Corner Nicene Craters edition reissue. Chad from Los Angeles, what are you vibing with this song? Talk to me.
So, it's funny. I like this. I mean, let me preface it with, I like this song a lot. Is it my favorite Pavement song? No. You know, it's probably not in my top 25 or 30 favorite Pavement songs. Okay. But that doesn't mean that it's not a good song. It's obviously it's a really good song. I really enjoy it. Like I was talking about earlier about sort of genres of Pavement songs. This right. is squarely in one of my, I guess I would say, not favorite sort of types of Pavement song. It's a little jokey, although the jokes are actually very funny and the lyrics I think yes. are really good. I mean, especially the whole thing about show me a word that rhymes with pavement, and then he goes on to describe two words that rhyme with pavement, right? Depravement and engravement. And then the hilarious part of the joke is the fourth word, which I guess is like ailment or disease, doesn't rhyme with pavement at all. Right. So, it's just, I mean, it's very clever and the lyrics are very funny and the music's great. I mean, there's a really cool sort of like almost Western, I feel like country Western vibe to the guitar, especially at the end, you know?
Yeah.
It's cool. It's interesting to me that, I mean, of course, we have to talk about this being the most streamed Pavement song on Spotify.
Right? That's nuts.
By like millions. And it's a fascinating story, I think, about how that happened and why this. I mean, let me start with saying, I think that there's a reason the song was a B-side, right? I mean, I trust... Yeah. It was recorded for Brighten the Corners, right? The Brighten the Corners sessions, I think.
Yep.
And Brighten the Corners is, you know, a classic. I think it's probably their last classic album, but like it's just top to bottom fantastic. And I mean, I agree with Malcolmus and Spiral and the guys that this song just doesn't really make the cut, you know? I don't think it's as good as... I can't think of a song that I would want to take replace off.
Right,
that's exactly.
Right.
You know? So I think it's right that it's a B-side. It's a good B-side. I think they have better B-sides, but it's fascinating that it became by just leaps and bounds the most streamed Pavement song. And I think it's even more fascinating why that happened. Are you familiar with that article that was on, I think, Stereogum about like the algorithm and how this came to be?
I am, but you know what? Some people who are listening might not. No, so why don't you share?
So there, a writer, I actually have it up here, posted an article on Stereogum a few years ago in 2020, a guy named Nate Rogers. And I don't know Nate Rogers, all credit to him. It's a really good article. I encourage anybody to look it up. But basically, he did some digging and he even interviewed Malcolmus, who was surprised as anyone else that this was, you know, this overtook Cut Your Hair and then just kept overtaking it as the most strange song. And it turns out for a while, I don't think they do it anymore, but for a while, Spotify had that feature that you had to turn off, that it once you played a playlist or a song or whatever, Spotify would, the algorithm would just keep going, right? And I think it still does that, but I think you have to turn it on now, or they give you the option to turn it on or turn it off. And they would keep going and keep playing songs that they think you would like based on how similar those songs are to what you were playing, right?
Right.
So whether it's the same artist or not, but certainly the same genre, but like they go, the algorithm goes much deeper than that. And it's sort of AI machine learning shit that I don't really understand, but like, so the sort of thesis or the end result, right, is that Harness Your Hopes is the Pavement song that according to this algorithm sounds the most like a Pavement song. It is like
bananas.
The sort of, yeah, it's weird. It's like it thinks that it's the platonic ideal of a Pavement song, you know, is Harness Your Hopes, which is true, I think, in a lot of ways, right? It has the sort of sing-songy up and down, you know, lyrical delivery. It has the sort of mid-tempo kind of laid-back rockin' groove. It has the guitar work. It has this sort of odd verse structure. But I think that's why I don't really love this song as much as a lot of other Pavement songs, because it sounds like you told an AI chatbot to write you a Pavement song in a way, you know? Not to take anything away from the guys, but it's like this computer-generated Pavement song, right? With the kind of funny but abstract lyrics and the melody. It just, it sounds like what, you know, ChatGPT would create if you gave it all these prompts to like write me a late 90s indie rock song in the style of Pavement.
Right.
is my sort of blistering take. And I mean, like I said, this is my favorite band, certainly my favorite American band, and I love everything they do, but it's somewhat of an injustice, I think, that this is by far the most listened to Pavement track on Spotify.
My kids know it.
Yeah. Everybody knows it. I mean, that article, which is hilarious, talks about how Malcolmus like walked into some bakery in Portland and it was playing and he didn't even recognize it at first. He has this hilarious quote that he thought it was Tumbling Dice by the Rolling Stones at first, which is hilarious.
Really?
A similar sort of strum at the beginning, a similar tempo, and then it turns out he was with his daughters and his daughters knew the song. They were like, oh yeah, this is your song, and he's like, oh yeah, this is that B-side. Like, it's crazy.
I mean, even big enough sort of that Matador about. It's big right. enough that Matador reissued the Spit on a Stranger EP on vinyl, right? Mm-hmm. Like it was released on vinyl, what was it, last year or the year before?
Yeah, didn't they make a video for it?
Like, they did. A few
years back, which is crazy.
Yeah. I
mean, you don't think of Pavement as like a very video forward band, you know?
No.
Their videos are all kind of tossed off. But yeah, I mean, it had this second life. And I mean, look, it's great if it gets people into Pavement. But I guess that's what the article sort of talks about, that in a way it is the most Pavement song. But in my opinion, it's by no means, it's not even close to being the best Pavement song, you know?
No.
It's a decently good Pavement song, but in some weird ways, it is the most emblematic, I guess, of what they sound like.
Right.
But even that is such a, so reductive and such like such a distillation, right? Of this band that has so many different sounds and so much different. I mean, they certainly have, you can kind of pick out, oh, that sounds like Pavement, but I mean, within that, there's a lot of different kinds of tunes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's like, to me, something, gosh, I'm trying to think, something like Summer Babe or maybe Range Life feels more Pavement-y to me, you know? But like you said from the top, this is the B-side. You know, it wasn't necessarily meant to take on this life.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If someone were to ask me, you know, give me one song that best exemplifies Pavement, I would probably pick, like you said, I'd probably pick Summer Bed. Maybe something, certainly for early Pavement, right? Maybe something right. off of maybe like Stereo or something for later Pavement.
Sure. Oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I was frankly a little surprised that this song rated so high on your poll. What is it? 30, 36?
36.
Yeah. And that's pretty high for a B-side. Right. And I mean, Pavement has great B-sides, and I think, I don't know if there are going to be other B-sides coming up higher, but I know a while ago in like the '50s, you had Greenlander. That's an amazing song. I think some of the B-sides off of, like Crooked Rain, like Haunt You Down is amazing, I think. And stuff. Again, I mean, but I'm giving away my taste in Pavement, like slower tempo, more moody. But like, yeah, I mean, they have some really killer B-sides. But this one, like I said, this one's good. And I don't have any problems with it, but it's not my favorite.
No, mine neither. Do you think at 36, you mentioned it's not in your top 30. But do you think at 36 it's properly rated, or you'd have it higher still out of the top 40 maybe?
I mean, if I were doing the list, I think it's a little overrated. I'd probably have it in the 40s. Okay. I mean, I'm trying to think of songs that you've had before this one. And I think a lot of them I would probably rank higher, you know. Certainly Greenlander I think would rank higher. Just on a pure
surprise,
not even for a B-side, but just as a pure, you know, just as a Pavement song, I would put it higher. I'd put most stuff off of, I would say, Slanted and Watery Domestic and probably Crooked Rain over it. But yeah, it's a good B-side for the Right in the Corners era, right? But I think it's a little high for my taste on the list.
Yeah. And it certainly doesn't fit. Like if they held on to it and it was a B-side for Terror Twilight, for Spit on a Stranger, it definitely doesn't fit on that record.
No, right. That's a good point. It does definitely sound like Bright in the Corners, right? It's that production. It's that, yeah, that vibe, that kind of tempo, that kind of sing-songy lyrical delivery that he did a lot on that record. But I think he did a lot of songs. I think a lot of songs on that record are better than this one. I mean, that's one of my favorite, you know, that's also a classic for me, Bright in the Corners. It's also the time too, like I was saying earlier, like Slanted for me was high school. Crooked Rain kind of bridges graduating high school into my freshman year of college. But Wowie Zowie and Bright in the Corners both came out when I was in college. And like, you know, my friends and I just played the shit out of both those records, like for like sort of the year they came out. Right. It was like all that was on in like my dorm room for at least a whole semester, if not my whole junior year, was Bright in the Corners. It was just always being played. Yeah.
I love that record.
I do too. I think it's really fantastic. My college roommate and I actually we had a show on the college radio station. We co-hosted a show. Yeah. I did college radio actually in Vegas at UNLV when I was in high school, and then I did it in college. And we played a lot of Bright in the Corner stuff, a lot of Pavement stuff.
That's great. Well, it's been really good talking to you today. Is there anything else you want to add?
Thank you.
No, thank you. You're doing all the work.
No, I think I've said all I have to say about Harness Your Hopes. But like I said, very good song. I don't want any Pavement members to listen to this and think I'm like, you know, ragging on their song.
No.
But not my favorite.
This is meant to be water cooler fodder, right? Like, it's like, right. What is JD thinking putting this at 36? Well, I didn't put it at 36 like the listeners did, but you know what I mean.
The crazy at large.
That's right. Well,
no,
again,
like I said, it was a little high, but no, this has been so fun. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Again, you do all the work, so it's real nice to, you know, just sort of slap the headphones on and have a conversation about Pavement with somebody as passionate as you. So thanks.
Thank you. Absolutely.
All right. Wash your goddamn hands.
Thanks for listening to Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast, where we count down the top 50 Pavement tracks as selected by you. If you've got questions or concerns, please shoot me an email, jd@meetingmalcolmus.com.
Duvra! Podcasts and such.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.